Bruchim Abayim to the fourth and continuing series of Shu'urim on the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah. We've been discussing the last Shu'urim, the very, very important upheaval and change in paradigm that came about as a result of the Arizal. And we've been discussing the Arizal in relationship to his predecessors and most notably the Ramak, the Moshe Kodavero. We are going to go a little bit deeper here in this Shir HaMirtz Hashem and discuss really what was the essential chiddush, what is novel in the Arizal's revelations and his understanding of the Kabbalah. We mentioned last time the Zoya in Chelek Beis, Dathman Beis Amud Beis, the Ilo Yispashid Nahare, are called Belyon, that if the God's infinite light does not spread out, or does not penetrate or permeate all of creations, all of his creations, how will people be aware of God? How will people know about God? And how can in fact we say that the entire world is filled with his glory, which indicates that the purpose of the revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, vis-a-vis the Kabbalah, and the Ramak is going, and the Arizal, both are going to understand this, is in fact that there's what's called a Yispashtus, there's a illumination and a permeation of light that, in other words, informs us of God's existence, and also, gives existence to all of the worlds, the entire world is filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet, his honor. Now, I mentioned that this Zoya is actually quoted both in the Ramak and both in the Arizal in his very beginning of the Eitz Chaim. I want to go back to what Ramak has to say about this in Sha'alvo Periches and also in Sha'alches Perigimel in the Padres Chimoydim. There the Ramak says, begin the Ishtamudin Lay. In other words, in order that he should make himself known to people, Perush, says the Ramak, L'cheinu mispashepem, therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu's light illuminates, permeates all the world, spreads out through all the worlds. V'atam ki kol etzim atzilus enu enu legalus elokusai el hashfolim. The whole purpose of atzilus, which is the highest of the worlds, is only to reveal, right, the nature of God's divinity to the more terrestrial, his terrestrial creations, the shfolim. Nishpashet lefi midosav, Kodesh Baruch Hu's light permeates and spreads out in accordance with his midos, accordance with his specific qualities. Gideshia b'nei ha'olam makira ma'isai lefi mitziuso, that people should acknowledge and understand and recognize him in accordance with his nature of his existence. B'chol midah v'midah, in every way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in the world. So, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light permeates the world and spreads out through the world, so we should understand every midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes to tell us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells us about God. In other words, epistemology. Shem lo hayu ha-madregos yodos ad ha-tachlis, if all these higher spiritual levels do not descend, right, hazeh, until for this purpose, and the neshama of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu's divinity, his divine light, does not in fact permeate, right, to all of the levels. People would not understand, would not know, right, the Creator. Okay, so in other words, so basically, the first purpose of his pashtus is knowing God, ontology, epistemology. In other words, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's light permeates, that people should intellectually be aware of his existence and understand his existence through the different midas, through his different the ways in which he interacts with the world. Okay, now, so that's the first part. Ech yishtamudin le, of the Zoya. But now the Zoya mentions a second thing. The Zoya says, ve'ech yizkayim aleichos gevoidah. How, in fact, does the status of the world being filled with glory, how's the status perpetuated? So on this, the Ramak says, it's a second reason why Kodesh Baruch Hu illuminates the world. L'chol ne'etzolov. The Baruch Hu's light has to spread out in everything that he creates. She'im lo hayum is pashit. Right? But toichem, the light would not spread out through all the creations of the world. Ech yizkayim aleichol as kavoidu. Actually, this actual quote is actually from the Sefer Parashat Yibayim Shar Dalad Perechetz. I made a mistake. In other words, this actual quote is from Shar Dal Perechetz, but he also speaks about this in Shar Vod Perechetz and also in Shar Ches Perechimel. In other words, we see according to the Ramak that there's two purposes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine light illuminates the creation. Number one is that we should apprehend the Creator. That's Hasagas HaBoire. And the second is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should sustain the world. That's called the Kiyum HaBriah. And that's called Balei Kol HaRatz Kavodo. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should sustain the world. So, this we see here is the important understanding of the Ramak, that in fact, actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu permeates the world for these two reasons. For our apprehension of Him, with the capital H, of the Creator, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should sustain the world. Now, we all know that probably the most important concept, which is a chidush, a novel, in the Adi, is the concept of Tzimtzum. Now, what's interesting is that the Ramak does speak about his pashtus, that of course, Baruch Hu, light spread out. But in fact, right, what we have in the Adi, which we don't have in the Ramak and his predecessors, is the concept of what's called histalkus. That the Kodesh Baruch Hu's light, not only does it penetrate and permeate, but it also is removed. It removes itself. Histalkus. In other words, what we have in the Ri is actually histalkus and hispashtus. Hispashtus and histalkus. In other words, in the Ri, there's not just a, in other words, in the Ramak, right, there's just a hispashtus. Kodesh Baruch Hu's light somehow spreads out, kidney spreads out. In the Ri, there's two actions. There's an action and a counteraction. This is what's called a histalkus and a hispashtus, right? There's a contraction and an expansion. And that's what, yeah.
Is histalkus a synonym for tzimtzum?
Tzimtzum is a type of histalkus. In other words, I mean, there's no question about it that the Ari uses the Lashon, when he speaks about tzimtzum, that the or is mistamtzum, mistalek, right? And that is the Lashon of tzimtzum. Then what tzimtzum means, that in addition to a spreading out, right, there's also a contraction of light. There's a light actually removes itself. And in fact, the first symptom was actually that the divine light is somehow mistalik from what's, you know, from the world that was created, eventually to be created. And then there's also a spashtus, the light actually penetrates again. And we've spoken about in the previous shiurim what's exactly in that. Now, what I want to do is, I want to actually focus on this, and I want to explore how is this concept of Hispashtus Talkos, how is this qualitatively a major difference, right? In other words, what is the chiddush, what is the novel of the concept of Hispashtus Talkos in contradistinction to that of the Ramak? In the Ramak, we only see Hispashtus, right? In which things grow. In the Ari, we see both. We say contraction and expansion. Right? What is the significance in the Ari? We have both contraction and expansion, Hispashtus and Histalkus and Hispashtus, whereas in the Ramak, we only have a concept of Hispashtus. Now, what's interesting is that the Ari speaks about the Tzimtzum, and we think of the Tzimtzum as being actually one event which took place in the very, very beginning of creation. However, in the Mavoi She'orim, which is a also from the Ari, which is written by Reb Chaim Vital, is not included in the Eitz Chaim. There, Reb Chaim Vital says
in Sefer Torah Sodom.
It's called Mavoi She'orim. It's a Sefer Torah Sodom, but this is called Mavoi She'orim. And then Reb Chaim Vital says something very interesting. He says over there, right? Who adin mi umizet tovin? In other words, if you understand the Tzimtzum, umizet tovin, right? Kol sha'ar ha-tzimtzumim she'evo achakach. We can understand all the tzimtzumim that take place afterwards. In other words, the tzimtzum was not only a one-time event. In other words, in the entire declension of worlds, right? In other words, at every stage where light actually spreads out, is mispashit, is actually an act of tzimtzum. In other words, every stage is what's called the histalkus and the ispashtus. Right? And that's what he says. In other words, what he says is that every stage of the spiritual, right, in the spiritual order of worlds, right, there is a contraction and expansion, histalkus and ispashtus. And in fact, what is the concept of histalkus? And what does Pashas say in this day? Because Baruch Hu, divine light illuminates. But what's the point of histalkus? Why should the light, in fact, actually contract? So, for instance, we would understand that in the first Simson, you have to have some type of a histalkus because, I mean, first there's only a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you have a world. You have to account for the fact there's a world. But why at every stage of creation, right, from the highest spiritual world to the lowest physical world, should there be this this notion of histalkus and ispashtus? In other words, what does it take place at every stage of spiritual, or the spiritual physical spectrum? So it's very, very interesting, right? So it's interesting is that once in the Voisha Olam, which is actually from the Ariza, right? In other words, at the first point of the Tzimtzum, and there's a Mokom, which we've spoken about that in detail on previous Shi'urim, you have the creation of this Mokom is the Midas Adin, which means there's a contraction of light. And after that, the worlds are created, and the infinite light is somehow is mislabish, is clothed, right? Is garmented, right, within all these worlds. In other words, the concept of tzimtzum is really a kilkel. In other words, the purpose of tzimtzum is really a makalkal amanas l'sakin. Means tzimtzum is actually an act of destruction. And that's what histalkus is. Histalkus is an act of destruction. There's a contraction of light. And then the contraction is made in order to expand, which is an act of expansion, which is action of tikkun. In other words, at every point in creation, you have these two movements, these movement and counter-movement. You have contraction and expansion, histalkus and ispashtus. And says Reb Chaim Vital, the purpose of histalkus is really kilkul. In other words, what distinguishes the Kabbalah of the Ari, especially as expressed through the concept of tzimtzum, is a concept of kilkul, which we don't have in the Mekubalim, especially in the Ramak before him. In the Ramak, we are, right, the divine act. And the methodology by which the world, the spiritual worlds are created, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu illuminates the worlds are created, is only through a monotone of expansion. Whereas in the Ari, right, the introduction, the notion of Tzimtzum in the Ari, we have a notion of kilkul, of destruction, right, of deconstruction. Right? And then, afterwards, of creation, of expansion. In other words, and that's what the Mevoi Shalom says, the purpose of Tzimtzum is Bekalkal Abalas Tzaken. Therefore, Shvira, destruction, collapse, right? Deconstruction is very, very much a central concept in the Ari, which we don't see in Rabbi Shekhar Deber, in the Ramak. Now, what is this Hispashtus and what is this Histalkus? Yeah.
Does this explain why doesn't it suffice just to have it at the beginning of creation rather than a continual process?
We'll speak about that. We'll speak about this. In other words, of course, that's the initial creation, but we see that at every stage you have this. We'll speak about this a little while. Now, what's very, very interesting is this concept of Hispashtus Histalkus is actually the fundamental element upon which the entire Kabbalah of the Ari is based. And I didn't make that up myself. This is not a chiddush of the Hashkafas HaGodatzkam, but actually, this is actually a very, very, this idea is, in fact, the understanding of the Leshem. The Leshem is a very, very, has a sefer called Sefer Klolim. I know very, very people have even heard of it, let alone have learned the Sefer Klolim. Most people know the Sefer Deya.
But it is on hebrewbooks.org.
Is it?
It is available
on Baruch Hashem, very, very good. And the Sefer HaKlalim, the Leshem, actually tries to describe the entire Kabbalah of the Ari in terms of these two concepts, his Pashtus and his Talakus. In fact, I'm going to read from the very introduction for the Sefer HaKlalim. There's actually history behind the Sefer. I think at one point, Rav Yashiv was, who was, you know, Moran Rav Yashiv, was actually reluctant to actually have it published or republished. And I think that because of some clamoring of maybe, you know, people nudged him, then he agreed to have it published again. But actually, in the Sefer HaKlalim, so I'm reading actually the very, very first, the first page was actually the introduction. And there he says, "Hubir leklali is pashtus v'hizdalkus." In other words, the Sefer HaKlalim is actually an explanation of the general principles of what's called hizpashtus v'hizdalkus. He uses hizpashtus before hizdalkus. According to Leshem, actually, this double movement takes place twice. So there's two expansions and two contractions. So he says, there's the first expansion and first contraction. After that, there's a second expansion and a second contraction. All the worlds, every world that took place, from the highest world to the lowest worlds, took place through expansion, contraction, etc., every single world, right? In other words, basically the Leshem has, right, is telling us that the entire Kabbalah Veri, the entire gamut of all the spiritual worlds of the Ri, from the very top to the very bottom, right? They're generated through this this mechanism of expansion and contraction, which takes place in two movements. It's actually two movements, which takes place in two stages. Expansion number one and contraction number one. Expansion number two, contraction number two. Okay, now, what is the nature of these two expansions and contractions? So, there he says, right? Now, what's the purpose of two expansions and two contractions? Right? Because Bohu created all of reality, right? Which is just Mishifas Oyri, it comes from the illumination of his light, which is revealed through God's acts. Hashem Olam is acts in every single world. In other words, the purpose, you know, in creation, we have an illumination, right? A coming forth, the surging of God's divine light, right? Which in fact revealed to us, right, his acts at every in every world, at every level of creation. Both, of course, has created a world, a reality, which has very, very many levels. Madrega lamat madrega, one level is below another level. Because every level is an entire world. And every world, you know, in other words, every level, every world at every level, what's in every level is in every other level. Because all the levels have the same thing. It's an entire world. But of course, the lower, every lower world comes from the world above it. In other words, world number n, you know, comes from world n minus one. So in other words, every world has a sheresh, has an origin in the world above it from which it comes. In other words, every world originates in the world above it. And because since every world, you know, world N comes from world N minus one, or world N has a sheresh, has a source, right? An origin in the world above it from which it comes. So says the Leshem, for this reason, we have to have two expansions, Shnei Yishpashtiyus, Shnei Yishtalkiyus, and two contractions. Why? Ki Bishpashtus Echad Yishtalkus Echad, with the first expansion and first contraction, Nase Bazeh HaSheresh L'chol Oylem Asher L'mayla. With the first expansion and contraction, you create the origin in the world above, of Yishpashtus Shnayim, and with the second expansion and contraction, you create the reality of the world, it's lower. In other words, basically, what the Leshem is saying, Rabbeinu HaLeshem is saying, is that one expansion contraction is to create the origin, the Shalish, in the world above it, and the second expansion contraction is to create the new world, which comes about, right from the higher world, and comes into reality on the lower level. So, what's interesting is that, according to the Leshen, what is the Kabbalah of the Ari? First of all, the Kabbalah of the Ari is, in fact, a dynamic process by which creation is taking place both backwards and both in forwards. In other words, there's a creation that's going backwards in time, and there's a creation that's going forwards in time. In other words, the first Hishtaz Pashtus and Hishtalkus is creating the past, and the second Hishtaz Pashtus is creating the future. In other words, we're going backwards and going forwards. In other words, what we see over here is an incredible thing, is that the notion of Pashtus Hishtalkus is a notion which takes time and strips time of its unitary one-dimensionality, and all of a sudden, in other words, time, or whatever we want to call it, anti-time, right? We go actually backwards and forwards. Yeah.
Why can't it just be chronological? Step one, upper world, his pashas is Hishtalkus. Step two, lower world.
We're going to explain what this is. In other words, obviously, clearly, in other words, this is clearly the Chiddush of the Ari. The Chiddush of the Ari is that the Hishtalshelus, the clenching of worlds, is not, in fact, actually a process, as we understand a normal process, in which, in fact, actually, you go from point A to point B, from time T0 to 1, but actually it's a process by which you're simultaneously going from T0 to T-1, and from T0 to T+1. In other words, you're going both backwards and you're going forwards. Okay.
Is that something we see in the Leshem?
No, actually, I mean, if you go through the Sefer Kololim, well, first of all, it's rather clear. You could believe the Leshem when he says that, but actually, if you learn from the Sefer Kololim, you understand that actually this is the essence of really what the Kabbalah Deri is. Now, first of all, what I want to say is that what's interesting is that what does it mean to go backwards? What does it mean to go forwards? Let's take this and actually put this a little bit into the language, the sprach of the Ramak. The Ramak said that there's two purposes of the Kabbalah, or two purposes of God who reveals himself, of the revelation or the expansion of God's light, right? One is to God reveals his Metzias, we apprehend God, and one is that God maintains the world. Now, what the Ari is doing, what the Ari is doing is he's taking the Ramak and saying in the Ramak, you know something? Well, he's not saying this. What the Ramak says, the Ari actually puts into a process. In other words, Hishtalkus, his Pashtus and Hishtalkus, right, reveals. Because let's take the very first symptom. We spoke about the fact that there's a Hishtalkus, and then what do we have after that? We have that after that a Rishima, which is the, you know, is the very, very basis of the ontology, you know, of the world. I mean, we spoke about the machlokes, the Baris Ruach. But in other words, Hishtalkus and Hishtalkus, the Hishtalkus of Hishtalkus, right, actually reveals a higher ordered level, which I would not be privy to had I not had a Hishtalkus, a contraction. So in other words, what happens in the Ari is that the two purposes of the permeation of God's life, the Hishtalkus of the Ramak, actually become part of a dynamical process of, I'm calling it Hishtalkus and Hishtalkus. Namely, is that through the contraction of light, man becomes privy to an ontology which is deeper than the ontology that he heretofore was able to fathom. And then through the second Hishtalkus, right, man now becomes privy to an emerging world which of course is the way in which the, you know, the worlds which emerge and are maintained. So in other words, the fact is that the two notions of apprehension, which is called Hasagas HaBayre, and the Kiyum of the world, right? Now, in fact, actually, they're not actually two separate acts, but they're two motions within one act, and also two, both are actually in a certain sense happening, I wouldn't say simultaneously because they're two acts, but happen as consequences of one process. In other words, basically, there's a process in which there's an act of what's called destruction, kilkul, and through this kilkul, man becomes privy to a higher ordered ontology, to a deeper understanding of the nature of divinity, and then through the tikkun, right, this ontology is now used in order to create, in order to, you know, v'loy chala otzka d'vaydoy. In other words, this becomes a process with the creation process. Now, what I want to say is that I want to take this a step further. Because l'chayla, I mean, one can understand, there was a notion of kilkul. Kilkul, I mean, mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mitzad God, there's no, right, there's no such thing as kilkul. I mean, you know, chas v'shalom. Kilkul is a human concept. Now, we've mentioned in the previous lectures in Shiurim that, in fact, the Arizal's, the very nature of the Arizal, is that the Kabbalah, right, becomes something from the man point of view. In other words, the Arizal introduces in the first Chakira the importance of the human point of view. In other words, in the Ramah Kodavera, right, we're really speaking about God's point of view. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu illuminates, right, and then man can be masakim, and of course God maintains the world, but everything is being spoken about from the God point of view. What the Arizal did, and certainly in the second Chakira, this first Chakira, which as we explained, the second Chakira, was to say that the Kabbalah is at the same time that the Kabbalah speaks about the God side, it also speaks about the man side too. In other words, the Kabbalah is the interaction between man and God, which means when the Kabbalah, what's God in and of himself cannot be apprehended. That's what we understood the first Chakira of the Arizal. Which means, when I'm speaking about God, I'm also speaking about man's apprehension of God. Which means the following thing, is that what for the Ramak is a hispashtus, right, which we could understand to be a man's hasag, a man's apprehension of the Bore, is actually, in fact, from man's point of view, a yistalkus, right?
From God's point of view,
is the yistalkus by which man now reaches further. It's an act of man, and it describes an act of apprehending man. Man apprehends God. In other words, the act of ispashtos, which one would interpret as being from the God point of view, really is ispashtos yistalkus, which is actually a description of man's apprehension of the divine ontology. So in other words, and similarly, in the second Hispashtus Yistalkus, where we speak about actually a kiyum of the world, for the Arizal, actually, we can understand this as also describing an act of man. When man does mitzvahs, when man learns Torah, what he does is, he becomes a partner in Maaseh Bereishis. He's also Mekayim the world. In other words, the second is Pasha V'Yistalkus is at the same time a description of divine creation, is at the same time a description by which man actively, right, by doing mitzvahs, right, takes part in maintaining the world. So in other words, his Pashtus in Yistalkus in the Ari allows us to speak simultaneously, not only of divine, divine revelation and divine creation, but also simultaneously to speak about man's apprehension, that man digs deeper into the ontology of the divine, and also man becomes an active participant in the spiritual maintenance of the world. So basically, Basically, what we could say is the change of paradigm from Moshe Kadavera to the Ari is Lahavdil, Elef Havdolos, the incredible paradigmatic shift between, let's say classical mechanics and quantum mechanics. In classical canons, we describe how God moves the world. We describe the world. Man is not an active participant in the world. In quantum mechanics, man is an active participant in the world. Man makes measurements, and in fact, the world is revealed to man, part and parcel of man's active intervention in the very act of experiment and doing science. So in other words, the incredible jump, the quantum jump from classical mechanics to quantum mechanics is actually, in fact, a description of this incredible paradigmatic shift from Le Moshe Kondavero to the Ari. And this is all, in fact, very, very beautifully expressed in the concept of Histalkus and his Pashtus, which in and of itself is merely a extrapolation and induction, deduction from the very act of Tzimtzum, or as the Mavoi Sha'arim explains it, is that at every stage of creation, at every stage in the spiritual, physical, cosmic spectrum, there is actually at the very heart of it, the process, there's a one Tzimtzum after another Tzimtzum, a one is Pashtus and one is Talkus. So in other words, this is the incredible quantum jump that was made with the Gilui, with the revelations of Yari, which in fact gives the Kabbalah of Yari a very qualitatively, a qualitatively different perspective, an ontology, both on man and God, which was in fact not in the in the Ramak before. So we see over here the very important concept here of Tzimtzum and Hispashtus and Histalkus. So basically, what have we said? We've said is that the Ari.
What if the
Ramak
commends not upon
creation? We don't see that in the Ramak. We don't see Kavanas in the Ramak. In other words, it is true that when man could be Masik the Bayre, but of course, Baruch is Mekayim the world.
We don't find any Chazals that talk about man building.
There's always Chazals. The question of what the Chazals are speaking about is why we interpret Chazals. In the Ari, the very important thing is in the Ari, not only is there, of course, the Eitz Chaim, there's also the Kavanas in the Ari. In other words, in the Ari, very, very important part of the Ari's Kabbalah is the Kavanas. In other words, in the Ari, we see that the entire, the cosmic, divine image, right, or that we see in the Ari is transformed as a mechanism by which man does mitzvahs in the actual world. We have to remember the Ari himself says that he was zeichet to his giluyim, his revelation, because of the simchi that when he did a mitzvah. Because what the Ari does is the Ari actually took cosmology and transformed it into human activity. Many people understand that the very fundamental dispute in philosophy began with you between Parmenides and Heraclitus is in fact actually the nature of reality. Is it being or is it becoming? What the Ari did is that he actually said that the two things are one is the other side of the coin from the other. There is being and there's becoming. Hasagas of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is being, but it's also becoming too. For this reason, in the Ari, man emerges, right, with all of his, his tremendous, incredible ability to affect and to harness the cosmic ontology, right, in order that, in fact, actually, in other words, he brings the world to its completion. It's very, very interesting. I mean, I don't want to speak about it in detail right now. But actually, this is actually a little bit of the machlekes dispute between the Balei Tanya and the Nefesh HaChayim. It's very, very interesting that if you actually look at the Shah HaYichud Bamuna of the Balei Tanya, and then look at Shah Gil Nefesh HaChayim, for the first few chapters, Broke, Nefesh HaChayim says, Mamish word for word the same as the Balei Tanya. When they get to the Tzimtzum, you'll notice very easily enough is that what the Balei Tanya understands it seems to be a process by which Kadosh Baruch Hu first goes from the higher world, Sefer Kol Almin, and penetrates the lower worlds through a process of Tzimtzum, which is called Mamalach Almin. In other words, for the Balei Tanya, Tzimtzum is actually an act of God. God permeates all of the worlds, the divine light, by way of a nace, by way of a miracle, he was able to contract the infinite and the finite. But what Simtzum for the Baal HaTanya is an act of God. But for the, if you look at the Nefesh HaChayim, in order to, face the fact that the Simtzum of the Baal HaTanya, which he agrees with the Baal HaTanya's image to a certain extent, but says that's true, then in fact this could in fact actually endanger the entire, the notion of the mitzvahs, which make distinctions, reality between that which is pure or not pure, that which is permitted, not permitted. So what does the Nefesh HaChayim do? What Nefesh HaChayim says is that Simtzum and Kav are two worlds. It's a dichotomy. In other words, there's Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Mitzad Meir. So what the Nefesh HaChayim did? Nefesh HaChayim did, he took a process of becoming and made it into being. In other words, what he did was, what the Baal HaTanya consists to be an act, a divine act, the Nefesh HaChayim took it and made it into two dinim, a Biliska two dinim. In other words, Nefesh HaChayim took an act of becoming, a process, and basically constructed from it, to a dichotomy, a conceptual dichotomy, from the God end, from the man end. So actually, this dispute between being and becoming is actually, in a certain sense, a description of the two different ways in which the Nefesh HaChayim, the Baal HaTanya, approach the very, very notion of Tzimtzum. But what I want to say is that the Baal HaTanya very, very much is description of Tzimtzum as an act, right? In fact, actually reflects this this very, very basic notion of the Ari, that in other words, is that basically it's an act, it's a divine act, but it's also a human act too, because by the same way that Kodesh Baruch Hu permeates the world with his divine light, so too man, when he does a mitzvah, actually the imitatio Dei, man imitates God and also reveals the infinite light within the world. So in other words, basically God's acts parallel and mirror themselves in man's acts, not only his mitzvahs, but also everything else man does. So in other words, basically, this divine-human parallel, right, is actually at the heart of Chassidus, and also at the heart of Shechayim too. Except that Shechayim, man does it through Limud HaTorah. And through Baal HaTanya, he does it through all the mitzvahs. Man does it both effectively through Limud HaTorah. So in other words, it's very interesting that Shechayim he says in some place, the Kabbalists only come to tell us, he said the Kabbalah is not meant to be actually acted upon. They're actually just meant to give us somehow some type of a spoiler, some type of a that we should marvel at to what heights our actions act. Which means that the dispute between Parmenides, Heraclitus, being and becoming is in fact actually at the heart of the dispute between the Nefesh HaChayim and the Baal HaTanya. But I think going back, we just got off on a tangent. But what I'm saying is, that is the Kabbalah of the Ari. The Ari, by creating the notion of Estalkus, as well as Pashtus, right, actually, he creates the human dimension, which means that we're speaking about God, we're speaking about man at the same time too. And that's the leap from the Newtonian mechanical notion, which is of the Ramak, to the more quantum mechanical notion of the Ari. Yeah.
Would the Ramak not say that mitzvahs make a difference to the world? Well, it's only in terms of tefillah.
They would make a difference to the world, but I don't think the Ramak would understand. I don't think the Ramak had kavanas like the Ari. In other words, for the Ramak, the Ramak doesn't place the mitzvahs within this cosmic arena. In other words, a man does mitzvahs to the Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not that man's acts somehow mirror God's cosmological processes, divine cosmological processes. That's what I would say that I'm about to say. In other words, the Ari made God's acts to be man's acts at the same time. That's the big yesod here. And that's why Kilkul is important. By the way, the Ari made man's apprehension to also be an act of knowing, too. In other words, how does man know things? A scientist learns something, but he takes everything and breaks it down to its components. In other words, every intellectual act of every scientist is actually a kilkul before a tikkun. When you learn a gemara, yes, a kasha before you give a teilut. This is what the Ari did. Is the point of kilkul is to introduce the human epistemological dimension and even divine apprehension. That divine apprehension is not that there's something divine and man just looks at it like a movie, but really there's a process by which man apprehends a Kodesh Baruch Hu, And this is the first, his pashas in his talkus. This is in fact how we create, through this process, the sheirech, the origin of the higher worlds. And this in fact actually mirrors the epistemological act of man. And that's the important thing. Okay, so in other words, kilkul and tikkun are, like the Mevoi Sha'alim says, is really the fundamental, right, elements and pillars of the Ari's thought and his revolution, right, in other words, in the Kabbalah. And that's really, in my opinion, what characterizes the Ari's Kabbalah most distinctly from the Kabbalah that took place before that. That's the, you know, that's the conclusion we have to draw. Now, what's interesting is, the important thing is that there's a second consequence of this kilkul and tikkun which we have to understand. In other words, with the notion of kilkul and tikkun, right, there's also, right, in the Ari, we have also, in other words, kilkul and tikkun are a process by which man can understand also too, ra, evil, tragedy. And this is a very, very important thing. In other words, golos, all these things, in other words, kilkul and tikkun are made a way in which we can understand the divine nature even of those things which ostensibly do not seem to be so divine. So for example, right, in let's say for example in the Ramchal, in Das Tvunos, the Tachmid Zechav of Das Tvunos, we see clearly the Ramchal used the notion of kilko, right, in understanding tragedies in history. For example, in the Balatanya, kilko, in other words, kilko becomes an important tool by which one can examine the divine dimensions of a phenomenon which appear to be negative and positive. For example, if we go back to the Rishon of the Rambam, according to the Rambam, no such thing as evil in and of itself. There's only a lack of good. The Rambam says, please, under Moina Vulcha. And it's not clear that in the Ramak there's any difference from that. But in fact, in the Ari, the very notion of Istalkus and Pashtus, which we're understanding to be a concept of Kilkol Maslasaken, then there's a deeper understanding of world processes, even those that appear to be negative. Which means is that in the Ari, there's a deeper level of immanence. Divine immanence is not only a permeation, right, a revelation of divine light, but it's also a revelation of acts, negative acts, as they take place and are, you know, understood in the light of what is ultimately spiritual progress. So, in other words, it's very, very interesting is that that as a result of the Kabbalah of the Ari, we have, for example, you know, people who understand, I mean, whether from Rav Tzadik to Rav Kook, they understand that even certain things which we look at it from a negative point of view, in other words, sometimes we can see that in a certain sense, things which we look at negatively, really in a certain sense, have a certain type of a spiritual significance, which is something which we don't see previous to the Ari. Previous to the Ari, the only thing which are spiritual is things which we associate with goodness. In the Ari, we have this interesting notion that even things which are ostensibly not positive, right, and not, you know, could be actually tragic, in fact, have a certain type of a divine significance. So in other words, and this is, like I said before, I've been saying this over and over again, this is very, very much a chiddush, a novel of the Ari, this concept of istalkus, ispashtus, of kilkul and tikkun. Okay, anyway. So what we have is a very, very important thing in the Ari, and these are these two pillars of the Ari, istalkus and pashtus, are actually the way in which the Ari, in fact, has not only created a new ontology of the divine, but a new ontology of man. That's number one. And number two, the Ari has given us the tools by which we can understand not only that which is positive, but that which is negative. Not that which is triumphant, but that which is tragic too. So in other words, these two important consequences are part and parcel of the very revolution that the Ari makes in the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah. Okay. There's a lot to speak about now, because now that we've understood this, we're going to have to understand how does this fit into the Mefarshim of Yerei, the Baal HaTanya, the Nefesh HaChayim. In other words, obviously human creativity, kilkul, are things which can be interpreted, in other words, in good ways, but sometimes they can have their dangerous aspects. We all understand that, you know, things giving something negative a spiritual content is, you know, something which is certainly something which is dangerous, and as we've seen in history, has had very, you know, dangerous consequences. So in other words, part of the Kabbalah the Aviti is actually an expression would be is the kalkel of an astasaken, that as a result of this, we have very, very, what we call, I don't know, dangerous ideas, but certainly ideas that require a lot of thought in order to be able to understand them in the proper way. And this is actually the way in which the Mefarshim there afterwards, some of the challenges and obstacles which the Mefarshim Ari use in order applying the Ari's philosophy and his understanding of divine ontology to what they understood to be what the Torah had to say about things in the world. But in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to leave that for the next time. In any case, from an undisclosed location in Yerushalayim Yom HaKodesh, everybody should have a good Yom Tov, Chag HaShavuos for Matan Torah. It's often said that the Arizal is the Kabbalah of Torah, the Nistah, but in any case, a good Yom Tov, and from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim Yom HaKodesh called Tov.